May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. When I became your rector a little less than a year ago, it had been about 5 months since I had celebrated the Eucharist because of my sabbatical from my former parish. And I remember so clearly that first Sunday at the 8 o'clock celebration of the Holy Eucharist in our chapel, and that goosebump feeling as I began at that beautiful altar, the words of institution. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. That will always stay in my mind, so powerfully as to how much I had missed it. And perhaps now in summertime, as we come together at 8 and 10 a.m. for the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, we can, in the slower pace of summer perhaps, see anew that this is the central act that proclaims who Jesus Christ is. He is our life, the one who nourishes us to serve God in this life and in the life to come. What's amazing is that the Eucharistic life, of course, the word Eucharist coming from the Greek for thanksgiving, the Eucharistic life is naturally centered in the church. Minister and theologian Frederick Buechner once said these words in a sermon about the church. He said, "It is also a point worth remembering that even after Jesus made these human beings into the church, they seem to have gone right on being human. They actually knew Jesus as their friend. We do well to keep in mind that the idea of becoming the church wasn't their idea. It was Jesus' idea." He writes, "It was Jesus who made them a church. They didn't come together the way like-minded people come together to make a club. They came together because Jesus called them to come together." The Greek word, ecclesia, for church, literally means to be called out. To be called out. Somehow this morning, either on your own or because someone forced you, and maybe some of you lost power. I understand we had a massive power outage in this area. Some were affected by it. But somehow you were called out to come and be a part of this worshiping community, the body of Christ. And we're called out because to live our life centered in Christ, we're called to Eucharist. Jesus did not call you to a privatized faith, but rather into a community of believers, the church. And even though we have, perhaps as I did on sabbatical, or you may on vacation, we have breaks, we have lapses, we have times away, we are still deep within being called by God to be the church, for you to come to Eucharist. And I find it interesting and profound that the early church also, like the present church, was not a community of like-minded believers. I think that's a strength of what it is to be the body of Christ. It is because in the Eucharist that we together find our oneness, as we celebrate and identify with Christ and receive him into our lives as Jesus becomes known to us in the word that we heard proclaimed by Jane and in the sacrament in just minutes that we will receive, that outward invisible sign of the inward and spiritual grace of Jesus Christ in the bread and in the wine. John Bancroft, in this wonderful tiny little book called The Eucharistic Way, this little red book, it's that big, he writes the following: "The witness to the effectiveness of the Eucharistic food is overwhelming. Week by week, and sometimes day by day, believers receive food at the Lord's table. Their need may arise from a special crisis or simply the daily struggle to be a Christian among the ambiguities of modern society." He concludes, whatever the reason, communicants come to the Eucharist hungry and leave with the nourishment necessary to continue their pilgrimage. When I had been gone from the church for those months, even though I attended some other churches and received the Eucharist there, I didn't realize how hungry I was for Christ in that way. Some of you are old enough to remember the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. I just became, now don't go there, with don't do that. Those that are old enough, don't go way back there. When I came into the church as a priest, it was still there, a little bit at St. Martin in the Fields in Atlanta, Georgia. And I celebrated some from the 28 Book of Common Prayer early on in my ministry. And you will remember just before the administration of Holy Communion, the priest said these words, which were powerful words that we're called to remember even though we don't say them in the service like we did then. The priest said in that wonderful Elizabethan language, "Ye who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling." And although we don't hear those same words, we are still asked today by God in Christ to be in love and charity with each other, to be in love and charity with our neighbors as we receive Holy Communion. As we come to communion, it's especially a call to you and to me to be a people that forgive other people. If you are like me, it's a lot easier for me to accept God's forgiveness of my sins than it is at times for me to forgive those who have sinned against me. And yet the very words that will say, following the Eucharistic prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, trespass against us." Of course, we're not God, and that's one of the reasons it's harder for us. But we are asked in obedience by God to be in that forgiving posture, to love one another as Christ loved us. Today's gospel story is a powerful image as Jesus sets out on that boat and that storm kicks up in the Sea of Galilee. One of my many hobbies in my lifetime has been sailing. And when I was a priest in the Diocese of Atlanta, we sailed a lot in Lake Lanier, on Lake Lanier in Georgia. And one of the interesting things on that lake was incredible storms could arise very quickly. And early on in my sailing days, when all of our children were very tiny, we were on a Catalina 22, which was all manual, so you had to literally go forward to drop the jib, and you know there was no buttons to push. And I had convinced Ellen that I was a good sailor, and we had loads of arguments on the sailboat, by the way. She's working today at the hospital, so I can talk about her today. We constantly bickered on the sailboat about whether we were doing things right. But that particular day, I convinced Ellen that that thunderstorm wasn't going to reach us. And the winds kicked up so beautifully, and the boat was healing beautifully. I felt like I was one with that lake and one with God. And of course, we got trapped in a massive storm. And I'll never forget the image of when Ellen finally got the jib down. Thank God she didn't go overboard, but we all had life jackets on. But she went down into the cabin of the Academy. It was not our boat, it was the Academy's boat, went down into the cabin with the children, and they looked, one was baby Philip. They were petrified, absolutely petrified, because my skill set was not very good at surviving this storm. And this image in the gospel for me is so powerful because it not only speaks to the real storm that they encountered, which evidently happens on Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, not only happens in the physical sense, but it is the way that God speaks to us to say, when the storms in your life arise, perhaps suddenly without warning, when you go through those difficult times and the seas are raging, and we feel like those disciples who call out to Jesus and say, "Don't you care that I am perishing, that I'm suffering?" It is at that moment that Jesus speaks to us and says to us, "Have faith, peace, be still." And it is in this Eucharist that we receive that Jesus, that peace, that faith, that stillness to be nourished to move forward in all of the times of our lives, both the rough waters and the calm waters. And so today, let us pray that we might feel that as we come to God's altar and take Jesus into our very hearts and very beings. Be nourished by him to meet the challenges and the joys that await all of us. Amen.